You're listening to the Music Marketing Manifesto podcast, where we discuss advanced strategies, tactics, and tips for actually selling your music. If you'd like to learn more music marketing strategies, then go to musicmarketingmanifesto.com. That's musicmarketingmanifesto.com, and sign up for your free copy of the Music Marketing Blueprint. All right, this is John Ojaka, and in this podcast episode, in this month's episode, I want to say months every time I say that, but I don't actually do these every month. They're kind of intermittent, which I'm hoping to change and perhaps make them more regular. Nevertheless, in this episode, we're going to be talking to independent singer-songwriter Danica Holmes. Danica is she's a Music Marketing Manifesto member. She's someone who bought the course that I put out. Most of you listening to this are familiar with it, called Music Marketing Manifesto. It's in its third incarnation, and she bought it some time ago. Actually, just a few months ago. I think it was late October, and she's one of those people that sort of stood out. She was asking smart questions. She was taking fast action. And she wrote me an email a few weeks ago sharing some of the results she had. And she was able, as it turns out, to sell 1,200 copies of a Christmas album that she put out to a fan list of just around 3,000 people. That's a pretty good sales-to-list ratio. And let's be honest, it's an impressive number, no matter who you are, for any independent artist to move 1,200 copies or so is really, you know, that's impressive. And she did it within just a few weeks' time. So whenever I hear success stories like this, I think they're worth sharing. So I invited Danica to join us on this episode and just basically share her story, tell you what she did, because course aside, everyone brings their own unique brand, their own unique style and approach to this stuff, to this direct-to-fan marketing that we're focused on over here. And that is certainly true with Danica. And once more, I thought it was worth sharing with you guys. So we're going to be doing that in just a moment. A couple of things before we dive into that interview. Let's see. Looking at my notes here. Coming up, I got something in the works. One of the things, you know, I kind of alluded to it a moment ago. One of the things that I like to do with this podcast, I really enjoy it. You know, I was recently doing an exercise where I kind of at least mentally listed out what I enjoy most about my business so that I can start focusing more of my energy in that area. And what I enjoy the most are the coaching calls and these podcast episodes. I like the dialogue, and I like getting to talk with other musicians and just share ideas. I enjoy that part of this process the most. And so I'm hoping to gradually make some shifts in that direction. And what that means is beefing up this podcast, turn it into maybe something a little more akin to an online music marketing radio show, rather than just this podcast that I do once every few months. So with that said, the first thing I need to do is really beef up the professionalism, whatever you want to call it, of these episodes. And I think that means a jingle. We're going to need a jingle for the Music Marketing Manifesto podcast. So this isn't an official call. It's more a heads up. I'm going to be posting something within the next few weeks, hopefully, depending on when you're listening to this and depending on how busy the schedule gets. But I'm going to be posting something shortly where we're going to be holding a jingle contest. The only real rules are going to be that it's 30 seconds or less and has the words Music Marketing Manifesto somewhere in that title. And it's really up to you from there. We'll be hosting tracks on the blog, and we'll have some fun with it. And I'll select a winner. That winner will not only get credit, but they'll be getting a free copy of Music Marketing Manifesto, a free copy of the Viral Music Toolkit, and a free year's worth of access to the Insider Circle. That all adds up. I don't actually have a calculator in front of me. It adds up to $100,000 now. No, it doesn't. It adds up to, I think, somewhere around $700 worth of stuff. So you're going to get that if you win. And once more, you're going to get some exposure. You'll get credited in the podcast episodes. And we have around 20,000 subscribers and growing. So that means hopefully a nice little chunk of exposure for you as well. So keep an eye on your inbox for more information about that. If you're not yet a subscriber, again, head on over to musicmarketingmanifesto.com and sign up for the newsletter or Music Marketing Blueprint or whatever interests you. And if you want to get a submission in early, just email it to support@musicmarketingmanifesto.com. That's support@musicmarketingmanifesto.com. And once more, we'll get those in early, and we'll be officially holding that contest within the next few weeks. At least that's the plan. So I just wanted to give everyone a heads up for those of you who are craftsmen and need a little more time but would like to take a stab at this. Be pre-warned that that's coming down the pipeline. So what else do we got to go over here? Let's see. A new little, it's not quite a feature, but a new little thing that we're going to be doing in these podcasts, or at least that's the plan, is to give a shout-out to somebody each week who leaves a review over on the iTunes podcast. Those things really help, those reviews. They help when it comes to iTunes algorithm in terms of how you rank for the various keywords and things like that. Reviews mean a lot. So if you're listening to this podcast and you like it and you want to help me make more of them, then head on over to iTunes, search Music Marketing Manifesto, and just leave a review and a rating there for me for the podcast in general. Again, they really do help. And then from time to time, we'll read one out to you guys, just to, again, to give you guys a shout out and to say thanks. So let's do it. Let's read the first review, or this episode's shout out. It goes to S. Jameson. He says, "John is the guy for musicians to learn marketing from. I take something useful from just about everything I read, watch, or listen to from him. I really believe he's teaching some of the most valuable concepts and strategies that independent artists could learn in the current climate of the music business. And if you apply what he teaches in the podcast, I guarantee it will help you bring in more fans and more successful and more success with your music." So thanks very much. Very flattering and very odd to read, I might add, reading that about myself. But it was the first one up on the list, and so that's what we did. I got to get Steve or Scott or somebody on the show with me so I don't have to do that, because that's just darn right weird, isn't it? Nevertheless, if you've got something to say about this podcast, please do head over to iTunes and leave a review there for me. Again, they'll really help this podcast in the ratings, and they help keep us going. And again, as a thank you, we'll give a shout out to any of the new reviews that come in future episodes. So with all of that out of the way, let's get to the real heart of this episode. Again, we're going to be talking to Danica Holmes. Danica is a independent singer-songwriter from Nashville, Tennessee. I think we're just going to jump right in here and let her do all the talking. Let her tell you guys who she is and what she's about. And again, tell you how she was able to sell 1,200 copies of a Christmas album within just a few weeks' time to a relatively small fan list. So, Danica Holmes, you're on the line. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. So you're calling in from Nashville, you said, correct?
Yep.
Well, why don't you tell folks just a little bit about yourself? Obviously we're gonna be talking about some recent success you've had selling albums, which, you know, try as I might to change opinions out there, it still seems most musicians think, or independent musicians seem to feel, is impossible. You've proven that not to be the case with some recent success, which we're going to, of course, talk about. But before we go into that, why don't you just kind of tell everyone listening who you are, your story as a musician, what kind of music you make, and let everyone into your world a little bit.
Yeah, sure. Well, thank you for inviting me to be part of this, first of all. I'm happy to share the story and hopefully can help out some other people. But like I said, my name is Danica Holmes. I'm from Iowa originally, and I play acoustic pop, a little bit of alt country music. I'm a full-time touring independent singer-songwriter, and I've been doing it full-time for about 3 years now. So, and I came across John in Music Marketing Manifesto probably in October of last year. So it's kind of been a fun couple months using what I've learned.
Awesome. And if anyone does want to check you out, check out your music, what's the best URL to do so?
Well, the website with all the info is danicaholmes.com. It's DanicaHolmes.com. in terms of Music Marketing Manifesto and the course, it's Tanika Holmes Music.
Have you learned nothing? You're not supposed to promote the big info site. You're supposed to promote the page that's going to get the opt-in so you can build your fan base. Man. But I think I stepped on you there. Why don't we emphasize that one more time? What's the URL they should go to so they can get some free music?
Yes, for free music, you can go to DanikaHolmesMusic.com, and it's just DanikaHolmesMusic.
There we go. Much better. Danica, like she said.
Okay. Well, honestly, sorry.
No.
Sorry, John. Who's the audience for this?
This is gonna go out to. Yeah, it's gonna go out to the 20,000 or so Music Marketing Manifesto subscribers. It'll be part of the next podcast episode. But musicians do buy music.
All right. Sorry about that.
Not at all. I was just giving you a hard time. So as she touched on, Danica bought Music Marketing Manifesto some time ago, and you know she really seemed to embrace the course. You get a sense of different people as they're leaving questions and asking comments. Some people seem to really flourish with it. Others have more trouble. You know, it's a technical process, and it's business, and it's marketing, and some people take to that well, and others don't. And she seemed to really take well to it. She was asking smart questions and making quick progress. And then she sent in an email just a couple of weeks ago now, or was it even that long? Just after the holidays, saying that she had a lot of success using the strategies and was able to sell 1,200 copies of a Christmas album or Christmas song? Or what were the details there?
It was a 5-song Christmas EP, and it was 1,200 physical copies. It was probably another 100 or so downloads.
Gotcha. Well, that's interesting, which we'll get into in a sec, the fact that you sold so many more physical copies, which goes against what most people sort of think is the case in terms of people's willingness to buy physical albums. But again, we'll get into that in a second. But I thought that was pretty significant. You know, in just a short period of time, she was able to sell 1,200 copies. And while compared to the millions that we hear about coming from the Lady Gagas of the world, which, you know, of course, that number's shrinking as well. 1,200 copies is not easy to do. That is no small accomplishment. When you start selling, you know, thousands of albums, that's really hard to do, and it's really impressive. And especially when you start incorporating things like upsells and all this other stuff that we talk about, you know, one can make quite a lot of money off of just 1,000 sales, and it's significant. And so I wanted to share your story with everyone listening, because it shows, you know, what can be done. And again, we're talking about a short period of time, right? How quickly did these sales take place?
It was in the Christmas season, so it was pretty much mid-November to Christmas.
Okay, so about...
So about 6 to 8 weeks, I'd say, max.
Gotcha. Great. Well, let's just basically start at the beginning and, you know, tell folks what you did. How'd you do it? How'd you sell 1,200 copies?
Well, we printed our Christmas EP on a jacket, and the front looked like a Christmas card, and the back looked like a postcard. So it had a to and a from section, and you could just pop a stamp on it and put it in the mail and actually send it as a Christmas card. So we marketed it directly to fans as send our Christmas music as your Christmas card, therefore incentivizing our fans to not just buy a copy for themselves, but to buy a copy for themselves and, you know, 25 of their closest friends. Or, you know, we even had some people that would buy 100 of them and give them to every person they would know, which is amazing for us because they just sent that out to like 100 people in the U.S. that had never heard of us before. So, so here we are. We had all of our CDs pressed, but the timing worked out so cool. And right when I bought and joined the Music Marketing Manifesto course, that's really when we needed to do our main sales push for the EP. And I just kind of took all of the little tools that you teach, you know, PayPal buttons and using the AWeber system. I had no idea how to do that stuff before. Like, I'm not a techie person. I'm super duper comfortable with the idea of marketing and business in general, but, you know, the step-by-step techie stuff, like, I would not have been able to do that on my own, you know, without your kind of step-by-step guidance in the course. So the first thing that we did was reach out to our existing fan base and, you know, make them aware of the idea. Christmas is coming. It's right around the corner. You know, for your Christmas card this year, why don't you give the gift of music instead? And we even left the jackets open so people could put in pictures of their own kids and their Christmas letter and whatever, mm-hmm. whatnot, you know, give them a stocking stuffer. So, you know, we set up a sales page to, at the Denny Holmes Music website, and I don't know how many, we probably sent out, I want to say it was a good 4 emails, like a 4 email series mm-hmm. to our base, of people who are on our list. And, gosh, the one that got really, we got a ton of sales off of them was the one with the, like, the 72-hour sale. Like, if you buy now, we'll give you a certain percentage off or we'll throw in some extra for free. And I put your, that ticker timer on okay. the top, that giant one that ticks down.
Sure.
That was awesome. That really made people move
sure.
and buy.
Sure.
Which was awesome. And and we did have them available down too, but the physical ones, like, since we were specifically trying to get people to put them in the mail and send them, because everyone's sending Christmas cards anyway, those were the ones that people were buying.
Right. And how much did you sell this for?
Okay, if people, we did price breaks for different quantities. If people bought one, it was $8. 10 to 75 CDs was like $5 each. And if anybody bought 100, just would say, I want 100, we sold them for $3 each.
Did you make any sales on of the 100-pack bundles, or, you know, how many people were buying these large bundles?
We did, yeah, actually, I was super excited. Companies were buying them as employee gifts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, two particular companies. One was a gigantic, farm equipment company, and their color is green.
Right.
They bought 100. Another was an architecture firm. They bought 100. We had a lawyer, who sent them to his clients. He bought 50. Those were our big orders. Most people were buying in sets of 5. That seemed to be, like, the most common amount people would buy. And we did have a lot of sales where people just bought one for $8.
Right.
That was cool with us, too.
Sure, sure. And that, yeah, that's really interesting. Those larger companies that bought, out of curiosity, were they people that you... had personal relationships with? Were they people that were just on your list that you didn't really know about, and you'd see these orders come in and go, oh, well, somebody from this company must be on my list? Like, how did those take place?
That's a good question. The larger companies are people on our list that we did have relationships with, and some big orders came in that were... Yeah, I was like, great, who's this person? Awesome, I don't know them. Fantastic.
Right. Yeah, you hear
it was about half and half, I'd say.
You hear a lot about that from folks when you get into direct response marketing in all different markets, you know, and it's why I think things like Kickstarter work so well. You just don't know who is a fan. You know, you get a big enough pool of people, you know, in the thousands of fans, and there's a very good chance that you got a couple millionaires on that list that happen to have seen you somewhere or picked up a CD or been turned on by a friend. And
yep.
I was talking to another artist who had, and I'm probably getting some of the details wrong, but it was something like had run a Kickstarter campaign and got a $2,000 what do you call it, contribution, for largest package. And it was just someone who had come to a show a few weeks prior, happened to have some disposable income and wanted to support her. So yeah, it's one of the perks of direct response marketing and having a big fan base. But just to kind of color some of that in for folks that are listening, because a lot of people that are going to be listening to this are discovering it through iTunes and aren't yet familiar with everything that I'm doing and the sort of course strategy. What I teach in the course I have called Music Marketing Manifesto, it's currently in its third incarnation. It's the Music Marketing Manifesto 3.0. And it's basically direct-to-fan marketing, or more specifically, direct response marketing for musicians. And the process, in a very in a simple nutshell, is to rather than going out and doing what musicians are traditionally doing, and just kind of playing and performing and hoping that awareness grows to some mystical tipping point where suddenly we're famous, we go out and we actually drive traffic. We consciously drive traffic either through paid traffic methods, or like Facebook advertising, for example, or going out and using free traffic generation methods like creating content for the search engines that ultimately points people to a lead capture page. And on that page, we offer some free music in exchange for an email address. And then once someone is on our list, we use what's called an autoresponder. It's an email management system that allows us to pre-program pre-written messages and distribute those emails at predetermined intervals. So somebody signs up on Monday, they get email one on Monday, email two on Wednesday, email three the following week, or whatever interval you want. And those emails are designed to really and authentically build a relationship, encourage them to communicate with you and interact with you and your music. And then ultimately, you go in and you use some proven selling techniques and proven sales triggers to get people off the fence and to make the decision to actually buy your music. And we use various tools like countdown timers and expiration scripts to make offers expire if we want them to be evergreen, so that everything is 100% authentic and legit. That's what Tanika's talking about there in terms of the different tools that she used. And that sales page you set up, were you using the MMM WordPress theme for that?
Yes, I was, and I love it. It's
Awesome.
very user friendly.
Awesome. There's a template that comes with the course that allows you to create these various pages, lead capture forms, sales pages, and all of that fun stuff. But so that's the overview of the basic process. If anyone wants to understand that better, you can go to Music Marketing Manifesto and sign up for the Music Marketing Blueprint. That'll give you a complete overview of the process that I'm teaching, what I'm recommending, what Danica used herself. Getting back to the story. So I love the idea of using the cards. I mean, it's a great way to basically get sales from your fans and effectively expand your base enormously by going out and your fans are giving you the money, but new people are getting exposed to your music as a result. So that's awesome. Did you do anything out of curiosity to encourage those new customers to become fans themselves and sign up for some more free music or anything like that? Did you include any kind of way that they could connect with you?
Unfortunately, no. The
Well,
CD had already printed. They were
right.
too fresh. In hindsight, going back, I was like, oh gosh, I wish, if I could have just put a little insert in each person's CD, that would have been awesome next time.
Sure. And I'm sure you get a fair amount of people that got the CDs that do seek you out and will no doubt connect with you. But let's talk a little bit about what perhaps you were going to do versus what you ultimately ended up doing, because I think every or the majority of musicians listening to this, the majority of musicians out there are, they're having a really hard time. And I know what it's like myself in years past. You put all this money into and all this effort into the songs, and then the recording of the songs and the manufacturing of the songs. And when it comes time to sell it, it's easy to get euphoric about all the potential before you actually release it. But when release day comes and you start putting yourself in the mind of those people out there, and you realize, like, how are people going to discover this stuff? A couple of gigs is not really going to do it. What would you have done had you not discovered these direct-to-fan marketing techniques? What was your plan originally?
Okay, gosh. Well, that's a big question. But, I mean, we have put out to other non-Christmas releases before, you know, and you learn a little bit more with each one of them. And you're right, it is such an exciting time, and your all your creative energy goes into it, and then you put it out, and you're like, why have 1,000 people got it? Why hasn't this sold 10,000 copies yet? So at the first two releases did kind of take that, okay, we're going to put it out and hope something happens approach. And this release, it was the Christmas one. I've had enough of that, you know, and that's why I was actively seeking out ways to market this, new and creative ways to market this, ways to get it in the hands of lots of people that I hadn't come up with on my own. You know, I needed help, and I feel kind of pretty lucky that I stumbled across Music Marketing Manifesto right at the right time. So honestly, I don't know what I would have done if I wouldn't have come across your program, because around the time when I was making an action plan, that's when I was actively seeking out resources for doing this better this time around.
Sure. Well, fair enough. So let's spell out the process a little more clearly as well. So first off, how if you don't mind me asking, how big is your mailing list currently?
It's about 3,000 people.
So that's pretty significant.
And it's all...
I'm sorry, I cut you off there.
That's fine. They're all from live show signups. I'm not like, here's a clipboard, pass around. Like, we're more proactive with email signups than a lot of bands. A lot of bands will just put the clipboard at their merch table and like, maybe... Nobody sees it and signs up, but we actually have people walking around, like talking to people during shows, like, hey, would you like to sign up, get some music, old-fashioned clipboard style. So that's where our people have come from. And I have a whole new take on that as well, but it's kind of a different topic.
Right, sure. And it's great that you work the room, because it's amazing how many people just don't. And, you know, I've been guilty of that in the past as well. And, you know, just as an aside, one of the things I teach in the course is how to actually go out and drive traffic so that you can build your base without touring. And it's huge, and it's powerful, and it's a freeing aspect of direct-to-fan marketing, because while touring is awesome, it can be a bit of a trap if your only way of building your base is going out there, or the only way of making money is hitting the road. You know, it's hard for most of us to do that for our entire lives. Despite the fact that that is what I teach people to do, what I like about the strategy and what I like about direct fan marketing is that even if you don't do it, even if you don't want to embrace paid advertising or creating content for the search engines or any of these things, because, you know, some don't take to it, they want to just make music. If you just do the same old stuff that every musician's always, you know, doing, get out there and, like you say, play shows and work the room old clipboard style, you are going to, and then you use the fundamentals of direct to fan marketing, the email management system, the building the relationship with those new fans and asking them to buy using some of these proven sales triggers, you're still going to see an enormous boom in your results. And I really love that about the strategy. And I love, you know, hearing these stories like yours, where you weren't out there actually driving traffic, but you were still seeing an increase in results. But so you had those few thousand people, and you were not using an autoresponder, correct? We were talking about that a little bit before. You want to talk at all about what you were doing versus what you're doing now?
Yes, I was just using just a regular, you know, any of like the band template mailers, and I would just send out like once a month or every other month, and it was just strictly information, you know, like, this is where we're playing, we just released a new video. I think all that's important still, but I wasn't using, I wasn't ever able to monetize, you know, what we had going on with our list. So this program kind of just put it together. It was the aha moment. And what you were saying before with direct, you know, like, paid advertising through Facebook and all that, I absolutely plan on doing that. This, and I really can't wait to try it out with our new one. We have an acoustic album coming out, probably, I don't know, I want to say it'll be ready to go in about a month. So with that said, I plan on doing, paid advertising. This whole Christmas CD, it was almost more of an experiment to get ready for the release of the actual acoustic album, because the Christmas EP, it was just kind of like a fun add-on we did for our fans. So I was like, what the heck, let's see if we can sell a ton of these. And
Right.
you know what I'm saying?
Sure. And I'm with you on not wanting to mention the service, the specific service you were using. I'm in the same camp. I don't like to pick on any companies. But the reality is that most of these email management tools that are out there that are designed specifically for musicians simply can't do what the tools that are designed for marketers and companies can do. And even a lot of the ones that are designed for companies can't really do it. Most of us are out there. A lot of us have email management systems, but they're more newsletter delivery devices. And autoresponder is quite different.
Right.
And particularly the autoresponder that I use and recommend, which you can find more about by going to musicmarketingmanifesto.com/autoresponder. But there is such an amazing suite of tools and features that come along with a autoresponder designed for marketing, as opposed to some of these traditional tools that, again, they do deliver what the average musician actually needs. Most musicians just need the ability to send out that newsletter, but what we're doing is something much more aggressive, at least from a marketing standpoint. And you can, again, schedule those emails. You can create multiple lists. You can segment your list so that when someone becomes a customer, they're automatically moved from the general prospect list and added to the customer list. You can integrate with PayPal so that when someone orders a specific product, they're added to a specific list. And there's just so much you can do. And I see a lot of people trying to cut that corner and stick with one of these other services that are designed for musicians that, again, are not bad, but they just can't do what is really required if you're going to embrace this kind of marketing. And you found that to be the case, correct?
Yes, I love autoresponders, and I'd never heard of them before, and I'm embarrassed that I've never heard of them because it seems like so obvious. Like, why didn't I think of that? For example, I said, oh, we just put a clipboard out and people will sign up. Well, since I've discovered autoresponders, now what I'm doing instead is at Denique Holmes Music, I actually have a live show sign-up page that I have up on an app now. Just like I keep my iPad on me so people can sign up. All that's on the iPad is their first name and their email. So that way when they sign up at the show, they immediately get sent that confirmation email, they confirm, and then they immediately get sent the free download. So they can have signed up at a live show now. I can be in between sets, and by the time we start that set, like a bunch of people could have actually confirmed and are now on our list. Whereas before, when I just was using the clipboard, here's what would happen. I'd go on tour, I'd be gone for 3 weeks, I'd come home, I'd have like 300 emails sitting on a clipboard. Then I'd be like, crap, ah, man, now I have to try and read all these people's handwriting. This really sucks. So
Sure.
I would get someone to do that for me. We'd get an Excel spreadsheet. Half of them would be wrong because there'd be like a letter or something out of place. You get them transferred out. You get them into this old band newsletter way of doing it. And by then, like 6 weeks have passed since they saw you and you're out of their mind. So the autoresponder, bam, they sign up at the show. They're immediately getting emails from you like the next day. And obviously you can choose your levels and how much time's going between when you send them out, but that I'm really, really excited about.
Yeah, it's a real powerful tool, and it's probably the single, yeah, it's the defining moment in my own career was really switching over from the old school spreadsheet that I'd plug into a dozen or so, Gmail emails that I'd blind copy everybody on, to actually doing it through an autoresponder. Suddenly, I had the bones of a real business on my hand. And the thing that's nice about it is because you are taking that both relationship building and selling process and turning it into, you're systematizing it, you're turning it into a sequence that everyone is going through. And so what you'll see coming out the other end is a consistent number of sales. You add a lead to your system, it's, to that funnel, and you're going to see a consistent number of sales coming out the other end. This will vary a little bit depending on demographic and targeting and the traffic source and things like that. I would imagine people who saw you live would probably convert better than people that clicked on a Facebook ad. Nevertheless, all things being somewhat equal, you'll get a consistent conversion rate coming out the other end. And when you have that, you can do a little math and figure out what each subscriber is worth to you. So, you get 100 subscribers and you make $100, your subscriber value is a dollar. That means you can go out and look for new traffic, advertising opportunities and whatnot, that will allow you to acquire new subscribers for less than a dollar. And as long as you can do that, you can make a bit of a profit and grow your base and grow your base. And eventually, even if you were just breaking even, you just keep feeding that system, and eventually you're going to have tens of thousands of followers. And once you start getting into having a large base like that, you can make some very serious money. You can move a lot of sales in a very short amount of time. You can make bestseller lists. You can make an impact on charts like Amazon, which then snowball into more sales. And I don't I don't know her numbers. Amanda Palmer's obviously someone I've talked a lot about and someone who's gotten a lot of attention. I don't know her personally, but she was able to generate something like $1.1 million on Kickstarter, and whether it's instinctive or conscious, from the outside looking in, she seems to be using fundamentally the same process. She uses things like scarcity and special offers to drive sales very quickly, and she's done a tremendously great job at doing that in a fun and organic way. And she's just going out to that, basically her email list and her Twitter list, again, as far as I can see from the outside looking in. Point being, you can generate a lot of money with a significant size mailing list. Your sales are always going to be in proportion to the size of that list. And so while you might not necessarily be making a ton of money on the front end if you're just selling a $10 CD, if you can at least break even and grow that list when that next album comes out, you might have 30, 40, 50,000 people to send that email to. And you just discussed selling 1,200 copies of physical CD with a list of only about 3,000 people. Now that's kind of huge. Now, I know that you were selling bundles and a lot of them were bundles, but do you know offhand how many total orders, or just approximately how many total orders came in?
Oh gosh, I don't offhand. If I had to guess, I would say, I want to say probably between 300 and 400. Is that about right?
300 and 400. So let's do the math there. Well, even at 300, that's 10% of
Yeah.
your list buying your stuff, and that's a tremendous conversion rate. I tend to see on a promotion from at least from people that have this stuff, moderately dialed in, have a good grasp of it. 4 to 6% is about the average. I've heard of higher. I've seen 10% a few times, but that's definitely the high end. Occasionally, I've heard of people doing better, but 10% is really strong. Means you have a good relationship with your list, and but it is an achievable number. And so again, imagine those numbers. Imagine having a list of 50,000 or 100,000 people, and what becomes possible. And one of the things I'm guessing you may not have gotten there yet, because it sounds like you kind of found the course right on, right at the perfect time, and you probably didn't have much time to get other elements together. But did you attempt any kind of additional sales, upsells, things like that?
I did actually for the I was kind of running two experiments at once. I was doing the whole bundle with the physical sales, but then I actually set two separate sales pages, and I did one sales page for just the downloads. And I sold the downloads by themselves for $4.95, and then I did do an upsell to get our most recent album for 50% off. That was 10 songs, so we sold that for another $4.95, and I was so excited. Like, a lot of people were doing the upsell, and I
Right.
was like, holy cow. And these are people on our list already, and I was like, how do you guys not have this album already? But I guess you don't.
Right.
Okay. Good. I'm glad you have it now.
Right. And how, what would you say the percentage was of people that were taking you up on that?
It was probably, I'd say, like 25 or 30%. to pick up on that show.
That's great. Yeah, the industry average tends to be between like 15 and 30, so you're right up at the high end of that, which is tremendous. I'm always, even though I teach this stuff, I'm still always a little surprised when when the stars align and this stuff actually works consistently as they say it will. It's really cool to hear. So just to kind of recap that, you had an album, a Christmas EP. You were gonna put it out, or you did put it out, rather than just going and doing shows, sending out a newsletter, letting people know it was available on iTunes. You set up a dedicated sales page to take orders. You sent out a series of about four emails using a limited time offer, letting people know that offer was going to expire. You promoted a musical Christmas card CD with bundles and packages, and you got about a 30% take on an upsell where you offered an additional CD, getting even more money out of each sale. It's really impressive that you actually did put all this together in such a short amount of time. Most people sort of sit with the information a lot longer. I'm impressed by that. And then you sold 1,200 copies in just over the 6 week or 6 to 8 week period over the holidays. Which is, again, I think really well done. Even again, referencing Amanda Palmer's big record-setting $1.1 million campaign, I think there was something like 25,000 contributions to that Kickstarter campaign. And obviously, I think they range from $1 on up to $5,000 or $10,000. So when you look at that number, at 1.1 million generated off of effectively 25,000 sales, and Kickstarter is really just a sales platform. That's, I think, what a lot of people miss. It's not some magical system that's just going to start causing contributions and money to start pouring in simply because you set up the page. It's just a sales platform. It's perhaps fun for the person, contributing because it feels like something more like a pledge drive. And it's fun for a fan to take part in, but it really is just a sales platform. And those donations, those contributions are going to be in direct proportion to the size of your list, just like your sales are. And if one can generate $1 million or more off of 25,000 contributions, and here you've had, I was going to say 1,200, but actually we're talking about 300 to 400, which, is a small number, but your list is still fairly small. And you can see that once you start driving traffic, consciously, and adding even more points of monetization, whether they're house concerts or high-end items and these kinds of things, which I'm assuming you haven't experimented with yet?
Not directly through your system. I mean, we definitely do house concerts, and we've done two Kickstarter campaigns, so we've done things in other ways, but I haven't really had time yet to incorporate your sort of thing with what we have going on already. So I'm really excited to maximize now.
Right. Well, yeah, once you start running some of these, adding some of these additional offers to your funnel, I think you will be able to generate some real money. And like I said, it sounds like you got your head screwed on straight and you've really responded to this stuff. So it's awesome to hear. Was there anything else you wanted to kind of add in terms of your impressions of the process, or, just really anything you wanted to share about the experience with everyone listening?
Well, I'm still really new. I've always embraced, marketing and business, so I'm not necessarily new to how to embrace it. Like, I'm not one of those people that's like, I finally figured out music's a business. Like,
right.
To me that was, duh, like, I need to eat, right? Kind of important detail in life.
Indeed.
So anyway, like, I'm so excited kind of to use the MMM Everythings for our acoustic release. So it'll be fun to check in, in 6 months or so, and see how we actually start, actively driving new traffic through, publishing content and Facebook ads and everything else. And you've got me thinking about some other things, an insider, I think you call your insider circle, but the whole, like a fan forum, how can I best create like an awesome fan forum? A monthly membership thing. I know that we can have people that will do that. I just need some really great ideas for it. So if anyone has an awesome fan forum they want to let me know, That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I was just going to add right before you said that, one of the things I'd suggest on your next release is for that upsell, instead of just offering an album, maybe explore some kind of a membership site, you know. And some people do a monthly. I kind of like annual more than monthly, because I don't know about you, but seeing those monthly payments, even if they're $4, keep coming in each month, I'm constantly reminded of this niggling little payment. And you know, $4 a month, $48 a year, that's not a lot of money. But if I was charged once a year $48, I probably wouldn't mind it. But somehow getting charged $4 a month would bug me personally. So I don't know if that's a universal feeling or not. But I like the annual model. And I like this idea. And this is actually something that I do cover in the Insider Circle. There's a whole training module on creating membership sites. But you can create a password protected content area where you've got old demos, videos. It sounds like, yeah, obviously you're on the road a lot, so you can create cool, unique, exclusive content. You know, if you've got enough money coming in, you could be recording stuff just for this group of people. You could be doing live internet concerts. You could be doing live chats, and just make, you know, the idea usually with an upsell is just sort of better, faster, cooler. You know, they've already bought your album. They've already said that they like it and they think it's worth money. Now that you've got their attention, now that they've got their credit card out, offer them something similar that's better, faster, cooler. And you can do that with a membership site where they get more content, more intimate access, and they can truly become part of the tribe. And you're going to see the people that do feel a loyalty to you and your brand, wanting to deepen the experience and taking you up on it. And if you keep the price affordable enough, like say $30 a year or something like that, you know, fast forward where you've got 1,000 customers, you know, that's 30 grand a year. That's a nice base income for most solo artists. You know,
Yes, it is.
it's not
Yep.
necessarily paying all the bills or giving us financial freedom, but it's a nice base of income. And obviously, you know, increase that number and get yourself 10,000 people, you've got some significant money coming in. And you know, from there, once you have the model, which you basically do at this stage, once you've got that model in place, you just start driving traffic. And again, with something like that, with a recurring income upsell, you might even just be breaking even or making a small profit on that frontline product, that album, but slowly and consistently adding to those annual subscribers or monthly subscribers, depending on how you set it up, to really grow and expand your income in a serious way. So something to consider for sure.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to giving that a shot.
Well, cool. Once again, how can people check you out? How can people listen to some music?
You can go to denisehomesmusic.com, and I would love to hear what you think of the music, so email me if you can.
Cool. Well, definitely check her out. And thanks so much, Danica, for sharing your story. Again, I just love kind of sharing the success stories that come in when people shoot off emails saying they, you know, sold 1,000+ CDs over a few weeks. It really makes my day, because you know, I'm teaching this stuff because I want it to benefit others, and it's awesome to hear when it does. So thanks again for sharing your story. I really appreciate it. Any parting words?
Thanks for having me. It's been really fun chatting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thanks again. All right. Once again, that was Danica Holmes. Be sure to check out her music. Danica's doing some great stuff, and I think we'll be seeing some very cool things from her in the future. She's got her head screwed on right, and she's making all the right moves as far as I can see. So I'm really excited to see what she's capable of doing, given a little more time, a few months down the road, maybe in a few years. She's doing all the right things. So well done, and again, thanks for sharing. Let's see, what do we got to cover before we sign off? If you like this episode, if you like that interview that you just heard, and you'd like to learn more music marketing tips and strategies and all that fun stuff, then be sure to head on over to musicmarketingmanifesto.com. That's musicmarketingmanifesto.com, and sign up for your free copy of the Music Marketing Blueprint. And again, if you're on iTunes, then do me a favor, head on over there, type in Music Marketing Manifesto, and leave me a review. They really help. They help with the old iTunes algorithm in terms of what ranks and what doesn't for various keywords. So do me a favor, if you like this, leave a review. It will really greatly help, and I'll greatly appreciate it. And once more, if you got a jingle up your sleeve and you'd like to submit it, then you can do that at any time by submitting it, just emailing it into support@musicmarketingmanifesto.com. Just attach it via an email. Short of that, keep an eye on your inbox, because I'll be officially launching this contest in the weeks, with a little luck anyway, weeks or months potentially to come. So be sure to keep an eye on your inbox, if you're a subscriber, that is. Keep an eye on your inbox for that. And again, if you're not and you'd like to join the newsletter, then once more, head on over to musicmarketingmanifesto.com. So that's about it for this episode. Thanks again. Again, I really appreciate you all listening. I will catch you somewhere on the internet, be it the blog, via email, another one of these podcast episodes. I need a better way to sign off, by the way. So, you know, if you have a fancy catchphrase for me, or every talk radio show host has some fancy way of signing off. I'm going to have to put some thought to it. But if you have any suggestions, I'm really ending with a ramble here. But if you have any suggestions, then tweet me at John Ojaka. Yeah, there we go. That's the end of the show, folks. Thanks for listening. Take care.